She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode. And I'm so excited. We have Joe Cohen, and he has flipped the script on conventional and alternative medicine, and it worked. Growing up, he suffered from inflammation, brain fog, fatigue, digestive problems, insomnia, and so much more. So today we're going to talk about, is intermittent fasting a right candidate? Are you the right candidate for intermittent fasting? Everyone might not be a candidate for it, and so much more. So Joe, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm going to hear a little bit about your story and kind of what happened with all of the inflammation and the brain fog and kind of the fatigue and all your digestive issues. Talk about that and what you did to kind of solve your own issues.
Absolutely. So growing up, I had a myriad of health issues, and I counted over 60 just over time. I went to conventional alternative doctors, and nobody was able to help me. They couldn't really figure out what was going on. They just gave me the general stuff, you know, go sleep more or exercise or whatever, which I was already doing all those stuff. And I actually got into intermittent fasting in 2008 already because I was reading a whole bunch of blogs. And intermittent fasting, you know, I saw different studies on animals and things like that. And so I was one of the first people getting into intermittent fasting. And there was definitely some benefits, but it didn't really work out for me so much. And that kind of gets into another point where there's, you know, intermittent fasting is a great tool. Absolutely great tool. And I would say works for most people. Absolutely. But you have to know how to use it. And also who it's right for. So for me, a lot of the problems I was running into is you look at a certain blogger and then they tell you this thing is going to work for everybody. And you see this in every reincarnation, there's, you know, new people saying, okay, this is the cure-all for everything and it works for everybody. And I did all those things, but it didn't work. A lot of them didn't work for me. So while I think intermittent fasting is a great tool, you know, one of the greatest tools, especially if you want to lose weight, it's not going to work for everybody. And it's important to understand who it will or will not work for. Now, getting to the broader picture, how I solved my issues wasn't a typical way. It wasn't like I could just follow some blogs or some influencers or educators or just go to doctors. They didn't really, you know, if I went to a mold doctor, they would tell me I had mold. If I went to a Lyme doctor, they tell me I have Lyme. If I go to a gut doctor, they'd tell me I got gut inflammation. Whoever I go to would tell me I have that problem that they're an expert in. And, or, you know, if you go to Dr. Gundry, he's going to tell you have a problem with lectins, right? If you go to a vegan, they're going to tell you have a problem with meat. It just goes on and on, whereas you can predict what response you're going to get based on the person you're going to. And the problem is that for some people that could work, right? And I think what ends up happening is people end up getting attracted to the people that, you know, they start to feel some success and then they want to know more and dive deeper. And so people who are attracted to, let's say, you know, cold plunges are going to be people who already do decent in cold plunges, right? And then they want to go deeper into that and see and learn more about it. And so they might follow someone who speaks about that a lot. Same with intermittent fasting, which is great. There's, you know, I'm all for education and spreading information, knowledge. So that's all great. That there's a need for that. But the problem is when people think that I've got this problem and this is the solution that's going to fix everything. And I tried it out and it doesn't work, unfortunately. That's when I started to realize that, wait a second, my body is very different than someone else's body. I never had a problem. I was never overweight. Most people struggle with being overweight, right? So clearly, just in that one aspect, my body's very different than other people's bodies. And that's just one aspect. I could give you many other aspects, right? People could eat McDonald's all day and they didn't have my gut issues. You know, they could eat gluten all day. They could eat this. It's just very clear that, you know, people do better with different things and everyone has their own weak points. And what you do is going to depend on your individual genetics and your individual data. And I see time and again where I also had like thousands of clients when I was doing more consulting rather than running a company. And I would get one client that said, hey, I did amazing with this thing. And then, you know, I'd tell the next one to do the same thing. And they'd be like, either it made me worse, I had no response. And so, you know, and I kind of started out also trying that. It's like, okay, well, this worked for me. Try it out. And what you see is that there was actually somewhat low percentage of success rate, right? Maybe a third of the people did well with each different thing. And then a lot of people just had no effect. And then some people got worse. So
it's so good. I just want to stop and say that because anytime someone says there's like a one size fits all for every human, it's just not reasonable. Like we are all so uniquely different and what works for you may not work for me. And, you know, my mom used to always say to me all the time, she would just say, know thyself. Like we'd be talking about something and she'd be like, Chantel, know thyself. You know, that's not going to work for you. You know, whatever it was. And so, you know, this whole idea of know thyself is a really good thing for you to think about when it goes, okay, I'm not just like him, her, and her. I do have to figure out what works for me. So I love that idea. Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple.
Absolutely. And so I went through a long period of just following different people, trying out the thing that they said works for everybody. I did a vegan diet because, you know, plant-based diet works for everybody. So right when that book came out, it's like, look, it works for everybody. This is like cures cancer, heart disease, everything, right? So let me do it. Then I had the worst health of my life. Okay, that didn't work. You know, now let me try butter in my coffee. This guy says it's going to, you know, make me bulletproof. I tried that. I got serious brain fog. So I was just bopping around from person to person until I realized, okay, this doesn't work. And I came to the same conclusion as you. You got to know yourself. But then how do you know yourself, right? So there's a couple ways. You could either do a lot of self-experimentation. That's one way. You can look at, or you can look at your data. Now, in 2010, that's when I was, you know, getting into these things much more seriously. I've been doing this for 17 years, right? But in 2010, I was really 2009, I was really getting into it. We didn't have the same level of genetics or lab testing or that we have now. You know, I would say that that was really the start of the revolution, but it wasn't what it is now. There was no, it really was just the beginning. You didn't really know much about genetics then. The lab testing was much harder to come by, and the data that was out was much more limited. So there was, the software was non-existent, and so it was very difficult to do anything with that. So I started with an approach that I called self-hacking. I started my website called Self-Hacked. It became very popular. And the idea was just to do a lot of experiments, understand the biochemistry, and do a lot of experiments on myself, which is what I did. I did these mega-dosing experiments. And then I had a reasonable level of success, but there was diminishing returns.
Give me some examples of some of the things that you did on there.
You can try to give me an example of something I didn't try out. I tried everything, right? I don't think you're going to find a single thing I didn't try. I tried every diet, every supplement. If we're talking about a supplement, I would take anywhere between 2 and 6 times the dosage recommended, depending on what it was. I would do that multiple times, day, night, you know, fasted, different states, try to see what effect it was having. And I would do a lot of research to see, you know, to try to understand which experiments I want to do. But essentially, that was the approach. Do research, do the experiment, and then I would share the research on the website. But that was the main idea. I actually stopped that I slowed that down quite a lot because I got a lot out of that. That was the approach that worked best for me up to a point. But it kind of just slowed down just because there becomes a limitless amount of experiments you could do, right? You could try something in a day, in a night. Your body is in constantly different states. And so, I found that was very helpful. And it allowed me to solve most of my health issues. It allowed me to really become a productive member of society. I was disabled. And so that helped extremely, like quite a lot. But I realized that, first of all, that's not a scalable solution, right? It was very clear that people did not want to treat themselves as guinea pigs. And they didn't have the time, the mental energy. I don't think a lot of people have the self-awareness. It's very anxiety-inducing. You need to be very risk-tolerant for it. There's kind of a lot of traits that need to go together to do that kind of crazy stuff. And I've never seen anybody who's done it.
Listening, who I want to just put some handles on what you're saying. So, you know, there's all these different places out there now that are doing a lot of the biohacking things, right? So there's like cryotherapy, there's lymphatic therapy, there's hemp therapy, brain tap, oxygen, you know, therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So was there any of those things that you did do? And did you do all those things? I just, you know, infrared sauna.
Everything you listed, I did many, many times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there wasn't anything you listed that I haven't done.
And you didn't see any real results from those different things?
Some of the things I did see results from. So that's what I'm saying is that approach of just trying everything mm-hmm. had some results, quite significant results, actually. But it's not a scalable solution. So I did not ever meet to this day somebody who's willing to do the number of experiments that I've done on myself. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen it, right? In a systematic way, like doing them one at a time, different situations. It's not a scalable solution. And, you know, it's very time consuming. I spent a lot of time.
And expensive.
Absolutely. So I spent a lot of money, a lot of time doing this. And I'm very risk tolerant and also, you know, low on neuroticism. If you're not very low on neuroticism, it's a problem because then you'll start to get anxious of all the things that you're doing. Like, oh, did I get this problem? Now my kidney's hurting a little. Is it from this? Right? What am I doing? You have to be very low on neuroticism and very high on risk tolerance in order to do that and also have a lot of time and money on your hands. To do that. Now, that's not a scalable solution. So, and also it only worked up to a certain point. That's why I said, okay, we need a system that people can get personalized solutions for. And so what I realized is that we need to look at the data. That's number one, to see how people are different and what needs to be done for different people. What data do we need to look at? We need to look at genetics. We need to look at lab tests. We need to look at, you know, questionnaires like lifestyle assessments and also what the symptoms, conditions, and goals people have. Those are some of the main things that we need to look at. And so what I found is that the software for all those things were just lacking and the technology for genetics just also wasn't existent in order to do this properly. And so we developed the most cutting edge genetic technology in order to to be able to predict disease and to, for prediction of different risks and things like that. And so, unfortunately, right now, what you have is a scam fest where every day there's a new genetics company coming out promising to have personalized solutions. But what I can tell you is that they're almost always scams. It's just they look at, 100 variants and tell you they're going to predict XYZ, but you cannot tell anything from 100 variants. You need very sophisticated machine learning and AI algorithms, plus looking at 100 million variants. And you need to be able to publish that data to, you know, compare it to a population, make sure that what you're doing is accurate. So that's what we've done. And, you know, the difference is not, 10% better. It's 0 to 1. It's like one is just completely worthless. The other is quite valuable, extremely valuable. And so people have to be very, very careful about any company doing genetics. The first question you want to ask is how many variants are you actively analyzing to compute what I need to be doing, right? What my risks are. And then are you also integrating all that data, lab data, and other my symptoms and conditions in order to get me proper recommendations? If the answer is no for those things, you're not going to get anything of value, right? Are you using AI with these 100 million variants in order to predict? Have you validated this algorithm on a population to see that it's accurate? The answer is going to be no to those things because, companies don't have that. We started offering our technology to other companies who want to white label it. So you're going to start seeing some legitimate companies come on. But to date, there's just a bunch of scam companies out there, with the exception of SelfDecode, of course, and that's the company that I founded to do this. Now, but you don't only want to look at genetics. You want to look at lab tests, symptoms, conditions, and goals. And so we look at everything combined to give you what recommendations you need to be doing. Now, I can take you, if you want to just talk about certain factors that people should understand with intermittent fasting, we could talk about that. We could go into the different lab testing that people could do. And
let's give a couple people that would not be a candidate for intermittent fasting. What would that be? Who would those people be if, off the top of your head?
So anyone trying to build a lot of muscle, number one, is not going to be a great candidate because when you fast, you don't take in protein. You need protein in order to, you need to spread it out. Just taking all your protein in one meal is not the optimal way to get in protein. So those are kind of the bodybuilders, people who just want to be very muscular. And I only eat protein foods, and I still have a problem getting enough protein. And you could look at it if you need more protein by looking at your serum total protein in your blood. You could take a serum amino acid test as well, and it'll show you which amino acids you're deficient in. And then you could also look at your albumin, which is also going to be an indicator of if you're getting enough protein in your diet. So those are kinds of things to know if you're getting enough protein. And for me, it's almost impossible for me to get enough protein, even if I'm very active. Whereas when I was less active, it was easy. So if you're a very active person, I think in general you can still do intermittent fasting, but pay attention to your serum levels of total protein. Different people have different, I've seen some people just have very high levels of total protein. Naturally, for me, it's my muscles suck up protein, and for me, intermittent fasting just for that reason alone wouldn't work. And I have a lot of muscle mass as well. I'm 5'8", but I'm 81 kilograms, or in pounds that would be like 176 pounds or something. So I have a lot of muscle mass. So people who have a lot of muscle mass should be cognizant of that. Next is if you're very thin. So one of the best things about intermittent fasting is it helps you reduce your caloric intake. And basically, a lot of people lose weight. When they lose weight, their cholesterol improves, their blood sugar improves. There's a lot of metabolic things that improve. Now, there is a minority of the population that some people would find hard to believe that are underweight and they cannot gain weight. Doing intermittent fasting for those people are not good because they are going to lose more weight, right? So I bet, I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of your listeners are struggling with some kind of weight problem. And the reason why I would guess that is because people have often have some kind of general sense of, they don't, nobody tells them this very directly, but there is a general sense that, you know, I have a friend who did intermittent fasting and they lost weight from that. And that's why people are starting to get into it. It's kind of spreading from anecdotes and things like that, or people who are educating like yourself. And it can be very good for weight loss. So I think, but it has to be with the caveat that if you're underweight, that is, you're not going to be a good candidate. Again, it could still work, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a red flag there. Next, if you have low thyroid hormones, so a lot of people tend to have low T3, especially if you're on a low-carb diet, because carbohydrates increase and insulin increase thyroid hormones. If you're on a low-carb diet or you just have low thyroid hormones naturally, that is going to be a problem for fasting, because you know the thyroid is important for metabolism and it allows you to fast better essentially. Whereas if your thyroid hormones are already on the lower end, you're not going to do well with fasting, because you're going to bring them lower. Basically, when you fast, you bring your thyroid hormones lower. So that's another way to see if you're going to do well on intermittent fasting. Another one is cortisol. So when you fast, especially for prolonged periods, your cortisol is going to go up, and you can measure your fasting cortisol and see if, you know, if you already have high fasting cortisol, that's something you want to be aware of. You know, maybe it's not going to be the optimal solution for you. So there's different things that you could check in the blood, different parameters that you might be able to look for on yourself. And actually, there's, you know, in the app, you could look up any recommendation like intermittent fasting and see what priority it comes up for you. For me, it actually does not show up very high.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you got B6, you got B12, you got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. The easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantal Ray, and save some money there. I want to just say one thing on that. So I am obviously a big fan of intermittent fasting. I love doing it. But I want to talk about what you said, and that is fasting in and of itself is a stress on the body, and it can increase cortisol levels. So, you know, there's so many benefits. It gives you a boost of energy, clear thinking, you know, you can feel great. But if you're in a season or you're in a day where you are dealing with a lot of stress and you already have such high cortisol, on those days, and every one of us have that, where I'm massively, massively stressed, I might expand my eating window during that day and not, you know, some days I might have a shorter eating window, some days I have a bigger one, but fasting is a form of stress on your body, as is, you know, things like, you know, the cold plunge or going in the sauna. All those things can cause stress on your body, which it's good stress because you want to do that. You want to be in like what we call hormesis, and getting your body into that hormesis state. But it is a really big thing for you to realize, like, okay, I don't, you know, I think sometimes people think, okay, I have to do intermittent fasting every single day of my entire life. well, you can, you know, go in and out of it where, you know, one day you might not be doing a shorter window, a longer window. You're not doing a lot of fasting that day. It's something to kind of keep in mind as well. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that it's a little bit related to cortisol, but not 100%, is mood stability. So you turn over serotonin quicker if you're fasting. Any kind of stressor, you're going to be turning over serotonin more quickly. Again, in that sense, it's related to cortisol. But in another sense, it's also a little different, because not only are you turning over serotonin more quickly, because you're fasting, you're not getting B vitamins or tryptophan in order to create more serotonin. So tryptophan is very, very critical in creating serotonin. And that's one of the amino acids that you can look at in your blood. And if you're low on tryptophan, or if you feel like your mood is very unstable, fasting will make you more unstable and it will deplete your tryptophan. So your serum total protein could still be normal, but your tryptophan could be low, and that could be very problematic. So for me, I would say I'm probably one of the worst candidates for intermittent fasting, just because all the things I named, I have. My thyroid hormones are on the lower end. I have a lot of muscle mass. My serotonin is very low, so I need to supplement with, even with a high protein diet, I still need to supplement with tryptophan, 5-HTP, B vitamins, in order to get my serotonin high. And, you know, and then I would say that my albumin, serum total protein, and various amino acids could be low if I'm physically active, which I am. So I need to be very, very careful about intermittent fasting. I never do intermittent fasting for that reason. And my body fat is quite low, so I have a six pack. There's no reason, there's no benefit for me to do intermittent fasting. I think, you know, that some people talk about autophagy, whatever. You know, exercising also is going to give you autophagy. And I find that if I exercise, I cannot exercise in a fasted state. It just crashes me. And then I also find that if I fast and then I eat in the afternoon, I'll get like brain fog and sleepy after the meal, right? It's kind of like I'm fasting for too long and then all of a sudden I have a rush of calories. My stomach is also very small, and so I cannot eat that much food in one go, which is, I think it's more of a structural problem, right? Some people have smaller stomachs, some people have bigger stomachs. For me, and I can't even eat that much food in general, which is good for overall weight loss, meaning, you know, my family, people in my family are pretty thin, and I've always been thin, but I need to be very careful with what I eat. I need to eat a very high protein diet, because if I don't eat mostly protein, I'm not going to have enough amino acids. And you could see that very clearly in the blood. So I would say I'm probably the worst candidate, but I also know that I've seen tremendous benefits to intermittent fasting for the right people, people who are trying to lose weight and they cannot lose weight. You know, people who like I mentioned, have other markers. I would say my phenotype is very different than other people's phenotype who have a big struggle losing weight.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings, and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount. So let's talk a little bit about what the DNA, what your DNA shows, because I know that one of the things that you did was you did a DNA analyzer and you looked at that and figured out, okay, how am I going to be able to figure out how I'm going to get healthier using their DNA and looking at labs. So talk a little bit about, and I will tell you, just so you know, I use something called 23andMe, and it was a living nightmare. I have a FedEx receipt, and they actually lost my stuff, and the customer service has been horrible. I haven't been able to get anyone to answer. It's been like the worst experience ever. So you tell
me. Yeah. 23andMe is problematic for a couple of reasons. Number one is their business model is based on selling your data. Number two is they have terrible customer support. Never been able to get in touch with their customer support. When, you know, just in the early days, it was very, it was just terrible customer support. So I I've heard that from other people as well. And that's why we also just started selling our own kits so that we don't have to deal with 23andMe. Yeah, and then the other thing is they don't really give you very applicable information on what you could do to actually be healthier, right? They give you limited reports and there's no practical information. What we do is completely different, and the technology is also much better than theirs. They built their technology in 2006, 2009, right? With AI and advances in genomics technology, things have gotten way better. So our technology is simply much newer. It's not that they couldn't have done it. They just built it too long ago. Whereas most other companies, by the way, they don't spend any resources to build the technology. We spend $20 million to do it. And, you know, what it costs to build what these other companies have is $20,000 at most. And so if you're a company and you're thinking the consumer doesn't understand what's going on, and they don't, it's very easy to just create any product for $20,000, get a couple variants from PubMed and be like, hey, look, here's your risk for this, and here's what you need to do based on these couple variants. But unfortunately, those are scam products, and there's a new one popping up every day. People ask me, and then they start regretting that, like, why didn't I buy self the code before this? Why did I waste so much money on these crap tests? But anyway, I'm going to show you. It's much easier to see how we bring everything together. Now, number one is you could filter by diet, supplement, and lifestyle, right? For me personally, I prefer supplements just because, you know, I've already maximized the diet and lifestyle component to a large degree. So I go with supplements. And so I would say that supplements, like, for example, are you interested in anything else besides supplements?
When you say, like, well, I would be interested in knowing, like, what foods. Like, using this test, does it say, like, you would be, you know, better on this kind of diet or eating these kind of...
Absolutely. Yeah. So here's the... I just filtered it to diet, and you could see different dietary things. It tells me to limit alcohol intake. Some of the more common ones are going to be higher because they do have a bigger impact. You're going to see, for me, it says Mediterranean diet. And dark chocolate actually comes up as number three. Now,
dark chocolate is good for you.
Yes. So these are prioritized based on how big of an impact it is. Now, you might ask, how is this coming up? Like, why is this being recommended? So the first thing that you're going to do is you're filling out symptoms, conditions, and goals. Okay. So you could see these are my goals, symptoms, conditions, and goals. Like, for example, a goal of mine is focus, gut inflammation, insomnia, longevity, mood, memory, sleep onset, and sleep quality. Those are some of my current goals. I want to improve these areas, right? And actually, I've dramatically improved all these areas, but I still have them here so that it can, you know, it's kind of like, The better my sleep, the better, right? So I really want to be able to, it's very hard to, like, I want to have amazing sleep every night, not just 6 out of 7 nights a week. You see what I'm saying? So it's still one of my goals. And what you could see here is all the different things that it's helping me with. number one is I have a genetic predisposition for higher ApoB. And ApoB is basically very important for heart disease. And I also have a genetic predisposition for Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, and low mood, and also lower telomere length and worse executive function. So these are some of the examples of my genetic risks. Everybody's going to have genetic risks, but the question is, you know, which ones, like if you have the exactly right diet and lifestyle, those are going to be mitigated dramatically.
So do you feel that on a Mediterranean diet, like when you eat that Mediterranean?
A modified, yes, absolutely. A modified version of it, I would say. Like, I definitely do better with a modified version of a Mediterranean diet. It is, now, this isn't necessarily taking in certain food sensitivities. So when I get rid of the things that I'm sensitive to, yes, a Mediterranean type diet is.
So let's talk about that with for you. Like a day in the life of you, what foods do you feel? Like I always tell people, everyone has green, yellow, and red foods, meaning red foods are like, I'm not eating this because I know like for me, gluten, I'm going to be on the floor. It's a red food for me. I'm not eating it. Yellow is like, I don't feel great, but I'll have it every once in a while if I'm super, super craving it. And then, and no, I'm not going to feel like $1 million. And then here's my green foods where I really feel like $1 million when I'm eating them.
Yeah. So what I do things a little differently, right? So, I mean, what we're doing here is we're taking all the research that's out there and then showing you which symptoms, conditions, and goals they work for based on the research. And you could click on any one of these and you'll see the research related to it, right? There's going to be research for every goal or symptom condition. And these R's are references. You get an impact and evidence for each one. So again, it has the symptoms, conditions, goals. It has the DNA risks, lab risks that it's helping with. So I upload my lab tests and then it shows me what's not in the optimal range. And then I can click on any one of these and see the research related to it. And then also lifestyle risks. You see that, and this is based on family history and childhood and different kinds of things. So you can see all of my risks, and it's what it's doing is it's using all of these things that we inputted. It's using pretty sophisticated AI to give you an output of the priority, right? Now, you know, to be very honest, we don't include at the current moment food sensitivities because there isn't a lot of good research on how to measure that, meaning like the IgG food intolerance test is garbage. So
it is garbage. I'm telling you, I've done those food sensitivity tests so many times and every time it gives me something else. And like,
yeah,
just the weirdest things that I eat all the time and feel fine with.
Exactly. Same thing here. So I never really believed in it, but I didn't want to make any firm position until I really did it myself and saw a lot of other people's results. And it turns out that it's just complete garbage. So unfortunately, at the current moment, we cannot tell what people are sensitive to. And you know, it's for in the software, we can't take that into account. So people have to really think about that. If, you know, if we're making a certain recommendation, that recommendation is going to be based on all the research available and the data that we can get, but we can't get certain information. Now there's a lot of things that we could tell, you know, your predisposition for different sensitivities based on your genetics, but also the research there isn't amazing. So still you want to look at that with, you know, take a pinch of salt with that. But essentially, but it's really good at prioritizing stuff. And so in terms of, I mean, I personally like looking at supplements because this is, you know, there's no like sensitivities really with supplements. And I find that the supplements really is just for me, all the ones that come up for me are really, really good. And so I really like the algorithm. And again, I'm more of a supplement junkie, but if you're someone who doesn't like supplements, I would go with the dietary, I would go with lifestyle stuff. And you basically just want to go from top to bottom and make sure you're doing all these different things. And then if you're not sure why it's being recommended, just click on it and you'll see what are all the goals that you have, symptoms, conditions, What are all the DNA risks that this is helping with? What are all the lab risks that this is helping with? And what are all the lifestyle risks that this is helping with? And so it's really going to give you a comprehensive picture and see what you need to do. Now, in terms of me, my diet, I would say I have something very unique.
You can stop sharing your screen.
Okay. So in terms of my diet, I would say there's it's very unique in a certain sense where because I do so much lab testing and genetic testing, meaning like I see all my genetics, I see all my lab testing, I know exactly what I need, right? And in order to get me, so, and I try to, I'm really what you would call like a longevity athlete, right? It's really, I'm taking things to the next level, which is different than most people. So what I do is I have one meal a day, pretty much, and then the rest are shakes. And these shakes are composed of the things that I need. So I really take individual components in the diet. And this is, I would say, very, very advanced, right? Instead of me, for example, eating just a varied diet, which you could argue is a good strategy for most people, I actually take individual ingredients and then measure how my blood markers improve based on those individual ingredients, right? And if I'm eating a very varied diet, then that actually makes it harder for me to do that because, you know, if I'm eating a lot of fish one week, then my dosage of fish oil is going to be off, right? And I can check how much omega-3s are in my blood, what percentage of different EPA, DHA, arachidonic acid. And so I find that for me, I keep it very simple. I have one meal a day, and that's just to have like some real food in my system. And it's usually either organ meats or a high protein food like chicken, something like that. And the rest of them is just shakes with individual ingredients that I put in. And then I measure my lab markers to make sure that, you know, to get everything in the optimal range, essentially. So a lot of it is based on whey protein. But instead of me, for example, you know, eating olive oil like a normal person in a salad, what I'll do is I'll take a gulp of it because I want to measure how much olive oil I'm getting. And I want it to be consistent rather than just, you know, pouring on something on a salad, which I might not eat every day. And I'll eat my salad in terms of blended vegetables. So very, I would say that you don't want to copy what I'm doing, but you want to copy just the approach in terms of you want software to give you more individualized insights on what you're doing. And the more data that you input into the software, the better the insights are going to be.
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian, and it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs, and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second, and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway and put in waste away for 10% off your first order, it's stressguardian.com/wasteaway. Go there now.
Yeah, I love that. Well, this has been amazing. Tell listeners where they can find you and where they can follow you.
They can find me. Selfdecode.com is the website where you could get a genetic test. You could upload your lab test, fill in your symptoms, conditions, and goals, fill out some questionnaires, and it's going to give you personalized insights into diet, supplements, lifestyle, and yeah, so that's been a huge game changer for me. Just the whole thing, the personalized approach. And then in terms of just following me personally, they could go to Instagram at Mr. Biohacker. That's MR Biohacker.
Awesome. Well, this has been great. You guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.